This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Mark. We're turning our attention now to the implementation of the Malaysia Agreement 1963 between the federal government and the state governments of East Malaysia. Prime Minister Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, early in his administration, set up the MA63 Implementation Action Council, which he also chairs, to expedite legislative changes on issues that require parliamentary approval.
Meanwhile, the Premier of Sarawak, Tan Sri Abang Johari, continues to push for equal rights. Initiatives include Petroleum Sarawak Berhad, or known as Petros, continuing to expand its oil and gas operations, the establishment of a Sarawak-based airline, and most recently this week, the proposed takeover of Bintulu Port and establishment of the Sarawak Ports Authority.
Now, considering the aspirations of the Sarawak government, is the unity government moving the MA63 agenda fast enough? And how else will this state be pushing its agenda to attain more autonomy?
For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. James, good morning. Always good to have you. Let's start with your overall assessment of how you see Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim addressing MA63 issues with Sabah and Sarawak, especially compared to his predecessors.
Good morning. So in terms of Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim's dealing with MA issues, I don't think he has done anything that is different from his predecessors. I think the only big difference is that for the very first time, the minister in charge of MA63 issue is a deputy prime minister. And I'm talking about the deputy prime minister too, Fadilah from Sarawak. He's been given the overall responsibility to make sure the MA63 issue is a top priority for this government, and to make sure that all these roadblocks that was put up in the past few administrations are resolved in a timely manner. So other than that, all the issues that they're dealing with are basically the leftover issues from all the previous administration. I think it's important for your listeners to understand that this MA63 cabinet committee or cabinet level committee that dealt with this issue actually started more than 10 years ago during the time of Najib Razak. So this thing has been going on for a very long time. Although I always find it strange when people ask me what is happening. For whatever reasons, it's never in the minds of people in Malaya. Most people think it's something new, when in fact it's been, as I said earlier, it's been going on for about 10 years.
So James, you mentioned leftover issues. So what are these leftover issues and how much progress has been made by the MA63 Implementation Council since it was set up earlier this year in January?
Right. So the biggest issue is, of course, who actually controls oil and gas production in Sabah and Sarawak and who actually owns it. So that's got to do with constitutional stuff, the Petroleum Development Act 1974. That is one of those areas which I've always argued can't be reformed. But the other sort of stuff is basically stuff that they can actually do something if they want to. So in terms of the issues currently being discussed at the cabinet level committee are things like what to do with leftover federal lands. As you know, in every state, right, the federal government will ask for big blocks of land for what they call public use, set up public utilities and all that sort of thing. So in Sabah and Sarawak, all the way up to 1980s, the federal government actually took a lot of land, especially in prime area, and they promised to build stuff like hospitals, schools, all that sort of thing, telecommunication towers, police station. But a lot of the land has been sitting idly. The federal government, for whatever reasons, never built it. So the state government in Sarawak and also the state government in Sabah want a lot of this land to be handed back to the state level. The other big items is, of course, Sarawak is especially keen to take back control of health and education. Again, this is a big item because, as you know, right, education is the biggest budget in Malaysia, and there are thousands and thousands of schools and teachers working throughout Malaysia. But even in Sarawak, it's especially difficult because Sarawak is such a big state and there are lots of schools which are in a terrible condition in the rural areas. So things like that. And of course, another big item is, of course, development approval. Very often, many of these big projects, we're talking about a few hundred million ringgit, a lot of this stuff will have to be approved at the federal level. So for the past 50 years, you have a crazy situation where, if a contractor wins a big project in Sabah and Sarawak, for the final approval, sign off at the various stage, collecting part payment. They got to send their engineers and their top people, fly them all the way to Putrajaya to see people from finance ministry, all that sort of thing. So these are some of the big items they're trying to resolve. But as I said earlier, the big item that the people at Sabah and Sarawak always look for is oil and gas. And unfortunately, my argument is that it is not possible to revert back the ownership at the present moment.
Okay, so aside from the oil and gas, James, the wish list that the Sarawak government has, how much of it do you think they will get, especially like health and education and land issues? Will the federal government make way for their requests?
I think what the federal government would do, especially if the federal government is Anwar Ibrahim, is that yes, they will eventually get control of health and education, but it will not be a big bang approach. They will not suddenly say, okay, from next year, you look after this yourself. Because we're talking about very complex issue. We're talking about people serving in the federal service and the state service. So I would suggest that it'll be a staged approach. Maybe for the first year you do this, you take over this, second year you take over this, third year, you know, you may take complete control. So it'll be a staged approach. But I think what is important is that Sarawak is seen as the state that will try all these things. Sabah has sort of taken a step back. So they're watching carefully because they know whatever approval is given to Sarawak, eventually Sabah will get it. So in some ways, you can argue that Sarawak is sort of a guinea pig for all this decentralization.
And maybe we can talk a little bit about why Sarawak appears to be taking the lead on these issues. What accounts for the different approaches between Sabah and Sarawak? And why is Sarawak more assertive in its bid for greater autonomy?
Oh, it's very simple. The answer is because Sarawak is under the complete control of GPS. GPS has an overwhelming dominant majority in Sarawak. For example, they have 23 MPs. So they are the third biggest bloc in the Anwar government, and you can't ignore them. And in the previous administration, all the way from Muhyiddin to Pakatan Harapan 1.0, they were the kingmakers. So you can't, you know, they're highly united. They move as a bloc. And also the second reason is because all the Malayan parties are not in Sarawak. They're not in control. GPS is completely consisting of Sarawak-based parties. So there is no, they don't have to refer anything back to KL. They're highly united in Kuching, so they can push for what they want. And I have to say, this is really, really popular among ordinary Sarawakians.
Now, last month, Sarawak was given approval in principle to set up its own state airline. And this week, there was also an announcement of a proposal to take over the Bintulu port as part of the ME63 agenda. So what are the implications of this for the federal state dynamics?
There is no implications directly. But of course, what is at the back of the mind of the political leaders in Malaya and the bureaucrats is that they're worried that if we move too fast, grant all these sort of licenses to Sarawak to do their own thing. Other states with a lot of money and, how should I put it, assertive leadership like Johor, they may also ask for the same thing. And that will create a real problem in terms of federal-state relations in Malaya rather than what's happening between Sabah and KL and Kuching and KL.
And James, how do these current hot, shall we call them political hot potatoes, issues like ALA arising in the lead up to the state elections in Peninsular Malaysia affect political dynamics with Sabah and Sarawak parties within the unity government?
It doesn't affect Sabah and Sarawak as long as these issues are not seen as domestic issues in Sabah or Sarawak. It has no impact. I think it's very important for your listeners to understand that this ALA issue is all about electrodynamics. In other words, it's all about pushing people to vote in a certain way. So as long as there's no state elections in Sabah and Sarawak, and the Kalima ALA issue can't be used to mobilize the voters, it's really not an issue. I'll just add one more thing. This whole thing about the Kalima ALA issues, in some ways, it has reinforced the views of ordinary Sabahans and Sarawakians that they've got to push for decentralization or more autonomy, even at a faster rate, because the general view is that this thing is really crazy, and the bigger distance we put between the craziness in Malaya and the craziness in Sabah and Sarawak, the better it is.
And James, one final question. How do you think relations are like personally between Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim and Tan Sri Abang Joe?
I think the way to understand relationship between state leaders and federal leaders is that it's always a love and hate relationship. It's nothing personal because we're dealing with whether you can maintain power or you lose power. So, you know, you have to be polite to each other. You deal the issues at hand. You grant some concessions. Other things you don't grant concessions. So it's always a give and take. I think the difference between the relationship between Putrajaya and the states in Malaya and the states in Sabah and Sarawak is that Sabah and Sarawak actually have a legal piece of paper called the Malaysia Agreement to back up the argument that this belongs to us. I don't think you can say the same thing for the states in Malaya.
James, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, weighing in on the developments in relation to MA63, whether there's been any change under this particular administration compared to past. Not really, he says. but we are seeing, I suppose, these issues come out more with the Deputy Prime Minister being a East Malaysian himself.
And I take note of his opinion on the whole petroleum thing, that it's too late to get the oil rights back because of the Petroleum Act. But on the flip side, Petroleum Sarawak Berhad has been formed in August 2017 and seems to be making a lot of roads and expansion.
All right, it's 7:59 in the morning. We're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin. After that, on the Breakfast Grill, Mark Tan will be speaking to Fong Chung Fook, CEO of LGMS Berhad. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.